religious and dear retreatants and dear parishioners, today is Humility Sunday. And the church puts this before our eyes every year, knowing how much we need this lesson on humility. Pride is our biggest downfall. It was the downfall of Satan and all of the fallen angels. It's always listed as the first capital sin, the first of the seven. So let's reflect upon humility today. It's not just the illustration of the Pharisee and publican that teaches us humility, but other parts of the Mass today as well. The epistle, where St. Paul says the Holy Ghost gives this gift to this person, this gift to this person, this gift to this person. That's a teaching on humility to remind us that none of us has it all. Only God has it all. Each one of us has our limitations. Not only our limitations, we all have our failures too that help keep us humble as well. But St. Paul's giving us a lesson in humility by reminding us how God distributes his gifts as he sees fit. There's also an idea of humility in the collect for today where it says, "Oh God, who show us to the effect of God, who especially show us thy power by forgiving us, having mercy on us." So it's not just the gospel, it's the Mass, the proper of the Mass today. And of course, the common of the Mass, the part that doesn't change, it always includes ideas of humility, of recognizing that God is the creator, that he is the redeemer. We are the creatures, and not only are we the creatures, we are the sinners. So what we need to, the take-home lesson for today, for all of us, would be what the publican was saying. Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. If we can remember to often say that in life, we will be nurturing that all-important virtue of humility. We will be fighting pride. And here's the point. The more humility we can acquire, the more blessings we will acquire from God. I forget where it says in Scripture, but it says, God resists the proud and gives his grace to the humble. So if we start glorifying ourselves, if we start taking the honor to ourselves, if we refuse to submit to God, God is pushing us away. And what a horrifying thought. We don't want God to push us away. We want God to draw us closer to him. And the way to do it is to humble ourselves. Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know, at first glance, it sounds like the Pharisee might be making that attempt at humility. After all, he's saying, thank you, God. Isn't that humility? But even though he started off saying, thank you, God, he then, instead of singing the praises of God, he was singing the praises of himself as though it was coming from him, as though his goodness, his abilities, his good deeds, they were coming from him. And that was his horrible downfall. He left that temple not justified. He left the synagogue or the temple more displeasing to God than when he came. Now, that's not something we want to happen to us. We want always, whenever we come to God's holy temple, his holy church, that when we leave it, we want to be closer to God. We want to be more pleasing to God. But our Lord makes it very clear. He says, the publican, because he said, have mercy on me, a sinner, he went home justified. And the Pharisee did not. We have to be reminded, I think often, that God is everything. Our Lord said to the apostles at the Last Supper, without me you can do nothing. He didn't say you can do something. He said you can do nothing. That's how much we need God. Because we are creatures. I mean, we're these finite beings, so limited, and not only so limited, but so imperfect. We are not only creatures, but we've offended God by sin. So you see, we have a double reason to be humble. Because we're creatures and because we have sinned. So we need to often make that prayer, and especially when we feel like exalting ourselves above others, when we don't want to submit to the will of God or be disobedient to God, we have to say, no, he is the creator. I owe him this. So we try to practice humility by recognizing our relationship with God. And let me just share some thoughts here from spiritual reading I was doing about humility. Saint Teresa relates of herself that the greatest graces she received from God were infused into her soul when she humbled herself most before the Lord in prayer. A quote here from Ecclesiasticus, the prayer of him that humbleth himself shall pierce the clouds, and he will not depart till the Most High behold. The humble obtain from God whatever they ask. They need not be afraid of being confounded or of being left without consolation. Psalm 73 says, let not the humble be turned away with confusion. St. Joseph Calasanctius used to say, if you wish to be a saint, be humble. If you wish to be a very great saint, be most humble. To St. Francis Borgia, while a secular, a holy man once said, if you desire to be a saint, never let a day pass without thinking on your miseries. St. Gregory says that pride is the most evident mark of the reprobate, but humility is, on the contrary, the most evident mark of the elect. Seeing the world covered with the tolls of the devil, St. Anthony with a sigh exclaimed, who can escape so many snares? Anthony, replied a voice, it is only humility that passes through them with security. The humble man is not in danger of being ensnared. In other words, unless we are like infants, not in years but in humility, we shall never attain salvation. Hence our Lord says, unless you become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. To the humble is promised the glory of God's kingdom when they suffer being even persecuted or put down. Learn of me, says Jesus, because I am meek and humble of heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. The proud do not enjoy peace because they never receive the respect or attention which the vain opinion of their greatness makes them regard as their due. So humility brings us a peace of soul where we're able to deal with, you know, the circumstances of life, being let down, maybe even being ignored or, you know, offended in some way. We just say, you know, this is an opportunity to practice humility of heart. So we have this complete dependence on God that we have to recognize. And it is humility that puts us on our knees, that makes us beseech God for the help that we need. It was inspiring to me when we were celebrating Bishop Pivirunis' Silver Jubilee of Priesthood. This was 4 years ago here at the Mount. I believe it was 4 years ago. Anyway, and he was just talking about his 25 years. Now, most of his priesthood has been as a bishop. He was consecrated a bishop after 6 years of being a priest. But I remember, and the point that struck me, and of course it's something I already knew, but I guess that's what we call grace, is when it's something you know, and then one day you get a new insight. You could also call it the gift of understanding, where you see something more clearly or obviously than before. But what struck me is a point that he really was emphasizing. He said, if there's any lesson that I have learned in these 25 years of being a priest, is how much I need God and how I need to turn to him in prayer. How true that is. It's something we know. But as I said, it was just a new, you know, it hit home a little more for me. And it's so true for all of us. So God has given us all different gifts and graces and talents. Whatever we have, let's recognize that it comes from God. And again, the Pharisee, you might say, he got the first part of it right by saying, thank you, God. But then he began to say, it's all coming from me. No, it doesn't. It comes from God. And God, whatever talents and abilities we have, God could have just as easily given it to somebody else. So we need to thank him and say, it came from you. The mistake of the Pharisee was saying, thank you, God, but it came from me, and I'm your gift. No, it's not like that. So as St. Teresa said, the greatest graces we will receive in life will come in humbling ourselves. The more we humble ourselves, the more we will find God beneficent in what he gives to us. I would like to close with these words from a hymn to Our Lady, which I've always found, well, they're all inspiring, but this one I think gets across a very good point. It's the title of this hymn is, What Mortal Tongue Can Sing Thy Praise? Our good sisters have often sung it, but I'd just like to share with you, I think it's just part of verse 1, 2, and 3, and this is an approved hymn, and it teaches us about the humility of our Holy Mother. Say, Virgin, what sweet force was that which from the Father's breast brought down his co-eternal Son to be thy bosom's guest? 'Twas not thy guileless faith alone that lifted thee so high. 'Twas not thy pure seraphic love, thy peerless chastity. But oh, it was thy lowliness, well-pleasing to the Lord, that made thee worthy to become the mother of the Lord, or the mother of the Word. So, yes, all these virtues, the faith, the love, the chastity, the purity, the spotless purity of Our Lady, all of that was pleasing to God. But as this hymn says, what most drew God down to become her child was her humility. She who never sinned, but recognized better than all of us her relationship with God, how she owed so much to God. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior, for he hath regarded the humility of his handmaid. He who humbles himself shall be exalted. So there's our Holy Mother and our Queen giving us this wonderful lesson. May we ponder it and imitate her in her humility. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.